Today is our second week in a month-long series on 1 John called Dear John, a Love Letter. Now, tradition tells us that 1 John was written by John, the beloved disciple. Six times the Bible describes John, the disciple, as the disciple that Jesus loved. Wow, that's a lot of pressure on you, isn't it? John, the disciple that Jesus loved. By the time that John wrote today's letter, 1 John, he was also the last living, known simply as the apostles, who was still alive. And at this point, he was known simply as the elder. That's high praise in that culture in that time. He was the elder. John was dearly beloved. He literally was Dear John. But that doesn't mean that people were still listening to the old man and what he had to say. Now, since World War II, Dear John has kind of been shorthand, right, for a letter of rejection. Like, oops, I've just been dumped. The beloved disciple in today's scripture, as he writes this letter, he's not dumping anyone. But you can't understand today's letter unless you realize that he's just been dumped. His church has just been dumped. A big part of the congregation has abandoned John's church in Ephesus, and they've abandoned the gospel message, okay? So John's letter, 1 John, is really this loving, tender response to the congregation that remains behind. A letter of encouragement, a letter of support, as they deal with the fact that a lot of the church just walked out the door. Now, we don't know what these separatists believed, but we do know what they denied. They denied that Jesus was the Son of God. That's a problem if you want to be a Christian, okay? They denied that Jesus saved the world by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. Again, kind of important if you want to be a Christian. They denied Jesus' commandments. They denied that they were sinners in need of salvation. And what's really important for today's bit of scripture, they denied that godly people were supposed to love their neighbors as they love themselves. And that's what John addresses in our little bit of scripture today. Now, 1 John is this love letter to the Christians who remained behind in the Ephesian church. And as we read 1 John throughout the rest of the month of July, I think it's really helpful to keep it in mind that he is the recipient of this Dear John behavior. That as John writes all these words of love, he's writing them in the context of having just been rejected. He's writing them in the context of having just been dumped by a significant part of his congregation. It makes these words of love all the more powerful that he would still teach love after experiencing personal rejection. Now, today's scripture from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, the beloved disciple, John, teaches that you cannot love God without loving other people. First, John explains that if you don't obey God, you will never know God. And number two, if you don't live like Jesus, you will never live like God. And third, if you don't love your brother and your sister, you will never live in the light. Hear the good news, that the love of God is perfected among us when we love one another. 1 John. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. But the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anybody who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. God's word. Number one, knowing God means obeying God. The people who abandoned John's church were not infamous sinners. The problem was that they were actually too religious to be Christians. Here's what I mean by that. These separatists were so spiritual that they couldn't accept that Jesus was God's son. They couldn't believe that anything that was truly of God could take on human flesh, okay? Too religious to be Christians. And so they refused to follow Jesus' teachings. These separatists, they only cared about spiritual things, about mystical things. Anything that had flesh and blood reality, like how to behave in this world, they didn't care about. They didn't want to talk about. Now, John explains to the remaining followers that true Christians must obey God's word. Now, John is not a legalist. In fact, John makes it very clear in those first two verses that forgiveness is available for anyone when we fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that we abuse God's grace by continuing to sin again and again and again, right? Just because forgiveness is available to you doesn't mean you abuse that privilege of getting to come and get forgiveness. John expects his congregation to zealously pursue the priorities of God, and when they fall short, to ask for some grace and to ask for some mercy. Now, I'm recently back from a tour of Israel with 28 people from the congregation and a little bit beyond. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. I can't help myself. It was kind of a fun trip. One of the highlights of the trip was spending an hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's everyone but me. So if you were on the trip, look for yourself. You'll find yourself in there. But that's the Garden of Gethsemane. So you know the Garden of Gethsemane from reading the scripture, I hope. This is the same garden where Jesus wept and prayed right before he went to the cross to die for the sins of the world, okay? You've heard that title before. This is the legitimate Garden of Gethsemane. Now, science tells us that the olive trees in that garden are at least 1,000 years old. They are the oldest leafy plants in the world, according to science. Christian tradition goes one up on that. Christian tradition says, no. These olive trees are 2,000 years old. These are the same olive trees that were in the garden when Jesus wept and prayed right before he went to the garden. Now, our church group was given the rare treat of having the Garden of Gethsemane all to ourselves. When I was there 3 years ago, I didn't get to go into this place. We had it all to ourselves for an entire hour. I don't know if my group realizes what a great treat that was, that we got to do that. Now, when we were there, we read the story of how Peter and James and John, the disciple that Jesus loved, how they could not stay awake while Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. These disciples wanted to obey. John, who wrote today's scripture, wanted to obey Jesus. He wanted to stay awake while Christ the Lord prayed, but he couldn't do it. He kept falling asleep. And then when Jesus was sent to the cross to die, John and all the other disciples abandoned him. This is a great place to pray for the forgiveness of sins. We had an hour. We had the place all to ourselves. So I sent the group out to go pray under the olive trees for the forgiveness of their own sins, to confess to Jesus that they want to obey. They just don't always succeed in obeying. You know what's amazing? One of us might have been praying under the same olive tree that Jesus prayed under 2,000 years ago, right before he went to the cross. Some of us might have been praying under the same olive trees that Peter and James and John the Beloved slept under while Jesus was preparing for the cross at Calvary. All I know for certain is that no matter where we sit, whether it's in the Garden of Gethsemane or whether it's right here in this congregation right now in these soft and cozy pews, if you ask God for forgiveness, you will get forgiveness. This is what obedience looks like from a biblical point of view. You do your best, and when you make a mistake, you try again, filled with the grace of God. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus declared, "If you love me, keep my commands." Elsie read this for us a moment ago. Jesus doesn't expect perfection from his followers, but he does expect obedience. Even John, the disciple that Jesus loved, struggled to obey Jesus. It's okay if you struggle to obey Jesus, but that struggle should provoke you to say, "God, get to work in me. Let me try again." My second point today is that living with God means living like Jesus. Now, John was the last of the original 12 disciples. He was the last living apostle. John had broken bread with Jesus. He had walked with Jesus in his footsteps. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there when Jesus died on the cross. John was there when Jesus rose from the dead. These people in his church who said it doesn't matter what Jesus did, it doesn't matter what Jesus said, they couldn't argue with John. He was there. He knew Jesus. He knew he was fully God. He knew he was fully human. And so these people had to leave the church because they couldn't argue with John. John knew that Jesus was fully God and fully human. And these people, they wanted a spirituality without any kind of Christian morality. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus sums up all of his ethical teaching in a single command. It goes like this. And this is what John is talking about with the old command, the new command. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." John, in today's scripture, he calls it an old command. Why? Because it's been in scripture from the very beginning. It's rooted in the Old Testament. And then John shifts gears in the middle of the sentence and says, no, it is a new commandment. Why? Because the Christians were actually living this stuff out. They really were loving their brothers and sisters as they loved themselves. And it set them apart from the rest of the world. John's point is that no one can live with God until they learn how to live like Jesus, until they learn how to live with one another. When we were in Jerusalem, my group got to walk the Via Dolorosa. That's Latin for the Way of Sorrow. It's basically the walk from the Garden of Gethsemane to the Hill of Calvary, where Jesus died on the cross. Because of several flight delays, you know, at one point I had 5 flights and people on 3 different continents trying to get to Israel. It was a mess. We were delayed. And because we were delayed at the beginning, we always had to hurry to get to the next thing. Or in the Hebrew, as we learned from our guide, Ikey, we had to haba-haba. We were always haba-habaying wherever we're supposed to get going. Haba-haba. Get moving. Ikey was always wanting us to haba-haba, I got to tell you. And nowhere was this more frustrating for me personally than when we were on the Via Dolorosa. You cannot hurry intimacy with God. You cannot haba-haba intimacy with God. We were in such a hurry to visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Why? This church is built on the site where Jesus died on the cross. It's also built on the site where Jesus rose from the dead, right near each other. This is like the holiest site in the world as far as Christians are concerned. And our guide, Ikey, he wanted us to haba-haba, get moving. We got to get there before the line started forming. But as we were walking along, we passed this group of other Christians, of other pilgrims. This is not them, it's just another picture I found on the internet. But they were carrying this 6-foot cross, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And they were sharing this burden with each other, right? It wasn't just one of them that had a burden to carry. They were all sharing the burden together, slowly, in the footsteps of Jesus. And as we haba-habaed right past them, I just stared at them and I admired them. I said, yeah, this is what it means to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The difference between a vacation and a pilgrimage is how you understand suffering. A delayed flight or lost luggage or getting sick can absolutely ruin your vacation, right? But things are different on a pilgrimage. When all those things happened, quite repeatedly on our trip to Israel, it actually brought us closer together. You go on a pilgrimage to do what? To love God better, right? That's why you go on a pilgrimage. But the funny thing is, when you share this cup of sorrow, when you share this cup of suffering together, you don't just learn to love God better, you learn to love one another better. And while I would really prefer to do this trip again without the lost baggage and the delayed flights and all the other obstacles on the way, it was those very things that forced us to love one another. Christian faith is a pilgrimage like that, whether you go to Israel or whether you just stay in the Skagit Valley your entire life. It's always a pilgrimage. And this yearning to love God only makes sense when we learn to love one another. That's what the people who left John's church just couldn't figure out. The third thing today is being in the light means loving our brothers and sisters. Now, it hurts to be dumped. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but just give me a wink if you've been dumped before. Anyone got a wink for me? Okay, there you go. All right, yeah, we're not raising hands. The Christians that remained behind in John's church, they struggled because they were dumped. And they didn't know how to relate to their old friends that dumped them. John will not allow his church members to reject the people who just rejected them. Even after they were dumped, John teaches his congregation that they must love their brothers and sisters. Now, the separatists, they claimed to walk in the light of God, even as they despised and abandoned God's church. John makes it very clear that the only way to remain in the light is to love like Jesus loved, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. As the Gospel of John describes Jesus at the very beginning, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is Jesus we're talking about. He was in the world, and that the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Even Jesus was rejected. Even Jesus was dumped. And yet, he still taught that we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, when we were in Israel, a bunch of us took a tour of Hezekiah's tunnel. About 2,800 years ago, Jerusalem was under threat of invasion, and so the king, King Hezekiah, he builds this tunnel, right? He digs a tunnel through a quarter. It's actually more like a third of a mile of bedrock. This is a major achievement before the Iron Age really came to Israel, right? This is a huge achievement. And so today, you could still walk through the knee-deep water that transports water underneath the city of Jerusalem. And you are deep, deep, deep under the ground when you are going through Hezekiah's tunnel. Now, I do not recommend Hezekiah's tunnel to anyone who's claustrophobic. The walls are tight and the ceiling is low. Well, not for all of us, but for some of us, the ceilings were quite low. I don't recommend Hezekiah's tunnel to people who are afraid of the dark. I asked everyone for just a moment, just a brief second, to turn off our headlamps, to turn off our flashlights, and just to let the darkness sink in, because it's so dark there, you can't see the hand in front of your face. It's that dark. So we turned off the lights for just a second. And then click, all the lights came right back on. People who didn't think that they were scared of the dark realized they were scared of the dark. And most of all, I don't recommend Hezekiah's tunnel to people who are afraid of crowds. Nobody panicked. But if they did, in those tight confines, it would have been dangerous, even lethal. Now, our church group was behind a group of 60 Ethiopian pilgrims. Now, our Christian brothers and sisters from Ethiopia, they dealt with their fear by singing. I got to tell you, at first, I was loving it, right? At first, I was loving their songs like, oh, I love hearing God's praise in Ethiopian. And then our 20-minute walk through Hezekiah's tunnel dragged on to an hour-long slog through knee-deep cold water. It was worse than I-5 at 9 a.m. It was bad. And while I really enjoyed the singing at first, I did not enjoy the singing at the end of that trip. I was getting frustrated. I'll be honest, some of my own fear was coming out in the way I felt in that tunnel. I just wanted the singing to stop. I just wanted these people to get moving. I just wanted to get out of the darkness and into the light. Now, that's the funny thing. Hezekiah's tunnel, it comes out in a place called the Pool of Siloam. Anyone remember the story of the Pool of Siloam? Remember what happens there? Jesus healed a blind man at the Pool of Siloam. And as I emerged from the darkness into the light, and my eyes were adjusting to the bright sunshine of Israel on a June day, after being in a place that was so dark you can't see your own hand in front of your own face, it suddenly occurred to me that this is what resentment is like. Resentment is like being stuck in a dark, wet, nasty tunnel. And on your own, you just can't get out. But Christian love is like stepping into the light. And it might hurt a little bit as you get adjusted to the daylight. But loving your brothers and sisters, that is the painful and wonderful truth of what it is to live in the light, where you learn to live by being next to people who are different from you, even people who might be difficult from time to time. That's when we really come into the light. In today's scripture, John gives three simple tests to measure our Christian faith. If you want to know God, you have to obey God. If you want to live with God, you must live with Jesus. And if you want to live in the light, you must love your brothers and sisters as you love yourself. Anyone can ace these three tests if they keep on coming back to the teachings of Jesus, if they keep on depending on the forgiveness of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.